Secretary will call the roll.
Allen, Anderson, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Berryhill, Bradford, Cannella, De Leon, Dodd, Fuller, Gaines, Galgiani, Glazer, Hernandez, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Jackson, Lada, Leyva, McGuire, Mendoza, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Newman, Wynn, Nilsson, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Vidak, Vykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Okay, members, we're ready to go. A quorum is present. Will the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery please rise? We'll be led in prayer this afternoon by our chaplain, Sister Michelle Gorman, after which please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator Roth.
Let us recall again that we are in God's holy presence. I search for you, O God, always elusive and hidden. I long to dwell in the heart of mystery. I search for my true self, more of who I already am, knowing there's so much yet to be discovered. I search for vision in the shadows of my soul, impatiently waiting the moment of light. I search for a quiet heart amid life's harried schedule. My soul cries out, yearning for solitude. I search for home, always for home, forgetting, of course, that I am already there. Amen.
Members, under privileges of the floor. Okay, we can come back to that. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read. Motions, resolutions, and notices. Okay, moving on to introductions and first reading of bills. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 70 by Senator Bates, an act calling the healing arts.
Bills will be deemed read. Now we'll return to motions and resolutions. Senator Lara, are you prepared to present your resolution? Okay, all right. Senator Allen, is he on the floor, Senator Allen? Okay. Okay, Senator Skinner, you have an adjourned in memory. Would you like to present that?
Thank you.
Great.
Members, I stand. You were very gracious last week when I adjourned in memory for the 36 victims of the Ghost Ship fire. And I mentioned when I opened that I would be describing to you some number of them, but I would read all of their names. I described to you more than I had intended, and in hindsight, I did not want any of the family or friends of the folks that I didn't give a very brief description about to feel that somehow they were any lesser in our assessment or in our care and concern and our adjourn in memory. So while all of the information has already been submitted to the record and is there, if you would permit me, I would like to give you a very brief description of the remaining few folks who I had not given a brief description about. Cash Askew. Cash, as many of the victims were, was a musician, and he performed in a goth-inflected duo with, this is a duo, the co-performer was Kennedy Ashlin. They called their duo Them Are Us Too, and Cash Askew was one of the three transgender victims killed in the fire. Kiyomi Tanue. Kiyomi, like Cash, from Oakland, was the music manager at Shazam, the music recognition app. She was known for regularly setting up an underground nail bar at all of the parties and events that she attended to express her talent for painting nail designs. Brandon Chase Wittenauer, originally from Santa Maria, now of Hayward, he was an electronic musician who performed under the name Nex Iguolo as part of the band Symbiotics Fungi. Johnny Egaz lived in San Francisco, hometown Alameda. Johnny Egaz was DJing at the Ghost Ship at the time of the fire. He was the music buyer for Green Apple Books in San Francisco. Billy Dixon, from Oakland but originally from Ohio. He was a guitarist, keyboard player, beatboxer, and music producer with a day job as a computer engineer. Chelsea Dolan, originally from Marin, living in San Francisco at the time of the fire. She was a volunteer DJ at UC Berkeley's radio station, Calex, an electronic keyboard musician and producer of dance music shows. Riley Fritz, originally from Connecticut, living in Oakland at the time. A bass player under the stage name, who performed under the stage name Feral Pines. Riley was also a transgender victim at the fire. Travis Ho. Travis, Oakland, born and raised, was a musician in the electronic band Ghost of Lighting and an arts therapist who worked at the West Contra Costa School District. Amanda Kershaw, originally from Massachusetts, living at San Francisco at the time, was a photographer with a freelance photography business that she called Panda Snaps, and she organized a monthly party titled Pulse Generator that featured women DJs. Edmund Lapine, living in Oakland, originally from Utah, was a guitarist who worked as a DJ. Like many other Ghost Ship victims, he subsidized his music passion with day jobs at cafes, bakeries, and art galleries. Barrett Clark, originally from Santa Rosa, living in Oakland, was a sound engineer who provided audio tech for clubs like San Francisco's DNA Lounge, and he was an audio tech for the Ghost Ship that night. He was an active member of an Oakland-based experimental music group, the Katabatic Collective. Joseph Matlock, originally from Washington State, living in Oakland. Joseph was known as Joey Cassio. He was a punk and electronica music legend, both in Oakland and Olympia, Washington, his hometown. He was also part of the music group Katabatic Collective. Sarah Hoda, Walnut Creek. Sarah was a teacher of first, second, and third graders at the Urban Montessori School in Oakland. Along with a friend, she started a collective titled Music Box, which provided housing to traveling artists. Nick Gomez Hall, Berkeley, originally from Coronado. Nick Gomez Hall was a guitar player and vocalist with a passion for bowling, who on any given Tuesday was likely to be found at the Albany Bowl. His day job was at the Berkeley-based publishing house Counterpoint Press. So those were the remaining folks that I had not given a description of. I really appreciate that you allowed me to do so, and I thank you for joining with me in adjourning in memory of all of the 36 victims of the Ghost Ship Fire.
Thank you, Senator Skinner. Our thoughts and prayers go to the friends and families of these talented artists in the community. Thank you. If we could now move to Senator Gene Fuller under privileges of the floor.
Dear members and guests, I rise today to recognize some special guests who join us in our chambers this afternoon. We will soon celebrate the Lunar New Year, and it is the year of the rooster in 2017. This will be an exciting and special year for the Shen Yun Performing Arts. The talented performers and organizers will be commemorating their 10th anniversary during their 2017 world tour. Many people have had the opportunity to attend and watch the amazing performances established by the elite Chinese artists in New York. They share a vision and passion to revive the lost world of traditional Chinese culture and share these wonderful experiences with families and children throughout California. The breathtaking performances combine dance and music and bring to life 5,000 years of Chinese culture. To mark this wonderful occasion, I would like to present them with this member's resolution. The talented dancers and performers will kick off their world tour starting Tuesday at the Sacramento Community Theater. Let's give them a warm round of applause. Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the California State Senate. Yes, Senator Pan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, on behalf of the Asian Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus and a co-author of this resolution, I too would like to welcome Shen Yun Performing Arts along with Senator Fuller. Since 2006, Shen Yun has been sharing their story throughout the United States, and I'm really thrilled that they're kicking off the world tour right here in Sacramento at Sacramento Community Theater. So again, welcome to the Senate and Sacramento. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Okay, members, yeah, we're going to return to motions and resolutions. Senator Lara? Presentation of a memorial resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. It is sad that I rise to memorialize a family member of one of our Senate family staffers here. I rise to adjourn in the memory of Maggie Shuley, who was killed by a drunk driver back in September. We were out of session. Maggie was the sister of Larissa Pitts from our own Senate Appropriations staff. Maggie was an incredibly driven and hardworking young woman working multiple jobs and while attending school. When Maggie's life was cut short, she was pursuing her dreams to become a doctor and focus on women's health. She was an active volunteer in the community at St. John's for Real Change, the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, UC Davis Hospital, and many, many other initiatives. Maggie was a single mother and is survived by her six-year-old son, Silas. She was also survived by her parents, Mary and Jeffrey, who will be raising Silas, as well as her sister, Larissa, who I mentioned is a member of our Senate Appropriations Committee staff. Silas, Mary, and Larissa are here on the floor today. I ask that the Senate join me in adjourning in Maggie's memory and express our deepest sympathy for this incredible loss to not only the Shuley family, but to our Senate family as well. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Senator Lara, for bringing this forward. Our thoughts and prayers go to Maggie Shuley and the family and Marissa. Members, under motions and resolutions, there's a presentation by Senator Pan and Senator Portantino. Please,
thank
Senator
you.
Pan.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. Along with the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus, I rise today to adjourn in memory of Tyrus Wong, who passed away at the end of December at the young age of 106. Mr. Wong was an artist who was most famous for giving the 1942 Disney classic Bambi its striking and famous landscape. Without Mr. Wong's landscape sketches inspired by the Song Dynasty, we may never have been Twitter-padded by lovable woodland creatures. And to this day, the landscape artwork Mr. Wong created for Bambi is considered a high watermark for film animation. However, before he became a Disney legend and gained recognition for his work, what unfortunately happened for another 60 years in 2001. However, part of what makes Mr. Wong so inspirational is not just his work in the art studio, but what it took for him to get there. I have previously mentioned to all of you before that the Chinese were the original undocumented immigrants when they entered the United States through Mexico during the Chinese Exclusion Act. But you could also say Mr. Wong is an original dreamer, coming to America with his father, who was only a 10-year-old child. And with the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 still in effect, Mr. Wong, at 10, and his father entered through Angel Island in 1920, a checkpoint with the goal of keeping out the Chinese. Due to loopholes created through the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, and after a month of being the only child among adults to be detained in Angel Island, he was able to circumvent the Chinese Exclusion Act. Afterwards, Mr. Wong and his father lived here in Sacramento for a few years before moving to Los Angeles, where he was able to launch his artistic career. Even in the workplace, Mr. Wong faced discrimination because back then, Asians were considered a novelty. But regardless of all his hardships, Mr. Wong still pursued his passion for art and eventually worked for studios like Disney and the Warner Brothers. With friends like Japanese artist Benji Okubo, he also founded the Oriental Artists Group of Los Angeles, which organized exhibitions of their members' work to give an unheard level of exposure for Asian artists at the time. He is survived by his three daughters and two grandchildren, whom he encouraged to do art but without coloring books. He did not want his children to be constrained by the lines laid out by others. Please join me in remembering and recognizing this truly amazing artist. Thank you, and may we adjourn in his memory.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Senator Portantino.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I, too, rise to adjourn in memory of a constituent of mine, Mr. Tyrus Wong. I join with my colleague from Sacramento. And as stated by my colleague, Mr. Wong was widely known and revered for his contribution to the animated film Bambi. Much like the film's title character, the artist, Mr. Wong, weathered irrevocable separation from his mother at an early age in the hope of making life in America. At a time when immigrants are on the front page for all the wrong reasons, here's a man who came here for the American dream, who created an American classic that many of us grew up watching. Through his lifetime, Mr. Wong was constantly challenged by adversity, specifically immigration interrogation, poverty, discrimination, and chronic lack of recognition for his work. Regardless, Mr. Wong never let it stop him from achieving his goals. Mr. Wong continually exhibited courage and strength while spearheading each obstacle he faced on his path to happiness and success. Whether working as a janitor or as an artist, Mr. Wong spent 106 years living the American dream to his fullest potential. This Disney legend was a true creator, artist, and visionary, but most of all, he was an inspiration and a role model for all of us to follow, and a career for every young artist to pursue, and everyone who wants a piece of the American dream to look up to. And I ask this body to adjourn his memory. Thank you, and thank you, Dr. Penn.
Thank you, Senators Pan and Portantino, and recognizing Mr. Wong and his long-lived, productive life in California. And our thoughts and prayers go to the family. And now we will move to Senator Allen with an adjourn in memory. Senator Allen.
Mr. President, thank you. I rise today to adjourn in memory of someone who many people here probably know, former Los Angeles County Supervisor and former LA City Council member Ed Edelman. He passed away at the age of 85 while the legislature was in recess. During his 9 years on the city council and 2 decades on the board of supervisors at LA County, representing the west side of Los Angeles and parts of the valley, he was an unassuming but also lion-hearted humanitarian who helped to make the city and county where he grew up a better place for Angelenos in ways both large and small. He was someone who believed in the transformative power of government to do right by people and to change people's lives. And he used his power time and time again to stand up for those who needed it most. I'll give you a few examples. He was an ally of the gay and lesbian community who helped, and he helped to require that LA County confront the AIDS epidemic. He was an advocate for abused and neglected children. He got the county to create a standalone Department of Children's Services and a cutting-edge children's courthouse. And I invite anybody who wants to see how to do courthouse issues with children well, go out and look at the Edelman Courthouse on the east side of Los Angeles, where they've created a safe space for children in that vulnerable situation when there's a family dispute, where there's a divorce. Go out and see that. It was something that is part of Ed Edelman's legacy. He also fought on behalf of the homeless, and he helped to get the city and the county to stop suing each other over who was going to pay for services. And instead, they were able to establish a joint powers authority to cooperate in addressing this problem that unfortunately still confronts us. He advocated for mass public transit throughout the Los Angeles area in the midst of an era when the rest of LA was building freeways. He got General Motors to build buses that include lifts to accommodate wheelchair users. He was instrumental in the construction of Los Angeles' very first subway. And also, he was a great champion for the arts, which he knew belonged to all, not just the privileged among us. Disney Hall, the Hollywood Bowl, so many of LA's world-class museums and galleries stand in his debt, and he always worked hard to make sure that those great arts institutions that we were constructing and building and growing in Los Angeles were truly accessible to a broad portion of the population, not just those from privilege. So Ed accomplished all this as an unabashed liberal, whether it was in style or not. He was a fierce and successful campaigner, but by no means a political firebrand. And he was ultimately, at his heart, a mediator. His legacy is enormous. It endures. He built it brick by brick by finding ways to get things done, whether the political winds were blowing at his back or in his face. He was also a great champion for the Santa Monica Mountains and played a critical role in bringing people together there and getting a lot of the land preserved in a moment when developers were taking over the mountains at a very quick pace. And so generations and generations of Angelenos who will enjoy those mountains, will enjoy that open space, also owe him a great debt of gratitude. Kate, there's a wonderful hour-long documentary about his life called The Passion and Politics of Ed Edelman, and I think it's a fascinating thing. I think it's something worth watching for members to see someone who stood up at a moment, a critical juncture in California history and stood up for the underprivileged. And so I'd like to ask that the Senate adjourn in Ed Edelman's memory today. I know Senator Hertzberg has some comments.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Allen. Senator Hertzberg, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Allen, for raising this important recognition for Supervisor Edelman. You know, all of us in this chamber have extraordinary stories of people who've inspired us, people we've worked with, people who've been our mentors, and Ed Edelman is that one of those few people for me. He was a guy who wasn't a headline grabber, but as was just indicated by Senator Allen, was a guy who took on every tough fight there was, who really understood in a larger context what it meant to be a public servant, always quietly, always with extraordinary effectiveness. Stories are personal. I go back to when he first ran for 1965, he was elected to the city council against all odds to beat Roz Wyman. 1974, he succeeded at the supervisor's office, and I organized students for Edelman at that time. It was a lot of fun. And being inspired by him, he's a labor lawyer. He was actually a mediator by negotiation. He was a UCLA grad in the law school back in the 50s. But fundamentally, if you look at his record, he's one of these people where there's a lot of noise around him. I think that documentary does capture the extraordinary impact. I remember, as he left left the County Board of Supervisors, he was always beefing with Gloria Molina, who I was very close with as well. And at the end, I mean, Gloria, when they gave him all the attributes about Ed and his life, said, Jesus, I'm going to give us a hard time if I'd known him. He'd done so many good things. Because he wasn't a guy who did it with a lot of noise. He just took care of business across the board. It was a kid's court. For me, he helped me tremendously when we put together the crime lab at Cal State Los Angeles in East Los Angeles, and his contributions were extraordinary. And I can just tell you as a testament, one of his contributions was inspiring this young state senator. I ask that you adjourn his memory.
Great. Thank you, Senator Hertzberg. Senator Morlock, and then Senator Glaser. Morlock's not on this issue. Oh, he's not on this issue. I'm sorry. Senator Glaser.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. I'm pleased to be a part of this great celebration of the life of Supervisor Edelman. I've spent 10 years in Los Angeles and in the 80s. And when you think about the giants of Los Angeles, you think about the Tom Bradleys and you think about the Kenny Hahns, and certainly you think about the Ed Edelmans, who through such long-standing work and passion have really carved out this wonderful place, whether it's the open space preservation or the things he's done for people or the buildings that are so important to our delivery of services. He was an extraordinary man. And I think one of the things that hasn't been raised so far in this testimonial is the people that he has mentored in his life, all the staff members, and they're all throughout our great state. They've come up here in Sacramento and served in wonderful ways, and they continue to serve in Los Angeles in wonderful ways. He was a great mentor. He led by example in a quiet way, as has been said, but in an extraordinary way, and with enormous achievements that all of us have had the benefit of.
Great. Thank you, Senator Glaser, Senator Allen, Senator Hertzberg, in recognizing Supervisor Ed Edelman and the great service that he provided in the LA area. We'll now move forward to Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. President. Orange County lost a great elected official last week as well. I'd like to adjourn in memory of Dennis O'Neill, who was the former mayor of the city of Newport Beach and was also its Citizen of the Year. He passed away on Friday at the age of 78, and he was just a longtime resident of Newport Beach. He died of complications related to pulmonary fibrosis. He was the assistant city attorney and city attorney for Newport Beach from 1969 to 1979. He served on the city council from 1994 to 2002, including a one-year stint as mayor in 1999. He maintained a private practice as a municipal land use attorney, and his contributions to the community were many. At the time of his passing, he was vice chair of the Newport Beach and Company, which is the city's nonprofit marketing agency, which called him one of the city's most influential political voices, advising both elected and business leaders on a range of issues. He battled polio as a young child in Oakland, which left him with limited use of his left arm. According to Newport Beach and Company, after graduating from USC, he crewed a vessel on a difficult voyage to Tahiti. During it, when he was adrift at sea for 30 days without wind, he was introspective and thought about what he wanted to do with his life. It led him to go to law school at UC Hastings in San Francisco. He was an incredible example of how to be a community leader, and Dennis O'Neill was a fine man and an outstanding citizen, and I want to recognize his contributions at this time of loss and also to remember his family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morlock, and we recognize Dennis O'Neill, and thoughts and prayers go to his family. Thank you. Okay, members, any other motions or resolutions? Oh, Senator Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise to also adjourn in the memory of a constituent and a friend, Jonathan Sanchez of Highland Park and Mount Washington. Many of you from Southern California knew him as the associate publisher of the Eastern Group publications. He was a fierce advocate for a strong independent press, and he had a very special passion for the news that mattered to the growing Latino communities throughout the greater Los Angeles region, in particular Boyle Heights, Highland Park, Lincoln Heights, and East LA. Under Jonathan and his wife Linda, Linda's leadership, Eastern Group pioneered bilingual news, helping to make news accessible for a very diverse audience. He was a very familiar face in his community, where he was active in numerous charitable organizations, including the Boys and Girls Club and the Eastern Group Publications Foundation. It's no exaggeration to say that he and his family helped tens of thousands of kids through his annual Letters to Santa program, and he was a mentor to many aspiring journalists hoping to break into the profession, many of whom had gone into to successful careers thanks in part to his guidance. Many perhaps had read numerous stories on the whole issue of Vernon, whether to disincorporate or not disincorporate. Well, obviously they covered that issue. The whole scandal, the corruption scandal in the city of Bell, they were one of the first ones to cover that that story. And just late, the whole issue with regards to the harmful toxic emissions of very harmful pollutants to our groundwater with Exide in the city of Vernon. Eastern Publications Group were one of the first journalists, obviously along with the LA Times and other folks, to cover these very, very important stories. Jonathan passed away just last December, the 23rd, after battling cancer. He was one of nine children, and he was born and raised right in Highland Park. So I know he's an individual who will be missed. Colleagues, please join me in again remembering Mr. Jonathan Sanchez. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Senator De Leon. And I believe we have also Senator Glazer would like to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I thank the pro tem for bringing us the sad news of Jonathan's passing. I think about one of my earliest memories in politics was calling up Jonathan Sanchez at the Eastern Group publication to pitch him on the news of the day for the elected leader that I was working for, and did it over many years in the 80s. And he always was very gracious, and he was always passionate. He always had questions to ask, but you always saw in the newspaper the real community spoke in the pages of Eastern Group publications and all those little papers. The community was speaking to us as staffers, as elected leaders, because he had a great passion for connection and communication. And he knew how important that was to creating cohesion and power within communities. And so he was a great man in Los Angeles, and I'm glad that the pro tem has asked that we adjourn in his memory today.
Thank you, Senator Glazer and Senator De Leon, in recognizing Jonathan Sanchez and the great contribution that he made in Southern California, and our thoughts and prayers go to Linda and his family. Members, are there any other motions or resolutions? Seeing none, if there's no other business, Senator De Leon, the desk is clear.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, colleagues, welcome back. Obviously, we're getting a ton of rain throughout Southern California, throughout California, but especially here in Northern California. So I know in certain parts of the state, whether it be the North Coast region, there's a lot of floods, a lot of property, and more importantly, lives are actually in danger. So I know there's a handful of folks who will be monitoring very closely the weather patterns throughout the region, but in particular in certain parts of the state. It's rain that's much needed, but again, you know, the old saying, you know, when it pours or when it rains, it pours, and sometimes it pours a bit too much, where property and lives are in harm's way. So we just want to make sure the public knows that the Senate body is monitoring very closely with the respective senators are here today, their constituents and the businesses, and making sure if folks are in harm's way that they work very closely with emergency services at the state, county, and local level to do everything within their power to make sure the services are there as quickly as possible. With that, I'm very happy to see everybody back. It's a cold and overcast day out there today, but we will reconvene today, I should say Thursday at 9 a.m. Oh, Friday. I apologize, because we have Martin Luther King weekend this upcoming week. We will reconvene on Friday, not Thursday, at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator De Leon. The Senate will be in recess until 3:30, at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We'll reconvene Friday at 9 a.m.